The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning. Shavua Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. Yeah, it feels like almost a week has passed since we last spoke, but it's only been just a weekend. And so much has happened in that time.
Yeah.
Including, of course, Tisha B'Av, which I hope was meaningful for everybody. And of course was very eventful, as always in Israel, because anything that brings focus to Jerusalem, and in particular to the Temple Mount, has controversy attached to it. And Tisha B'Av is no exception, because obviously with the day commemorating the destruction of both temples in Jerusalem, as the kind of central beacon, there are a number of other events that have taken place on Tisha B'Av as well, which are notable, but which are not quite as notable as the destruction of the temples. And of course, a lot of focus yesterday on Jerusalem, and of course, clashes, as one would expect, on the Temple Mount as various parties try to assert their authority over the city of Jerusalem and assert their right to visit and to control things that happen on the Holy Temple Mount, which of course is holy to both Muslims and Jews. Muslims because that's the site of the Al-Aqsa Mosque, just to make it clear to people, it's the third holiest site in the Muslim religion, recognized as the third holiest site, and as such, the Israeli government has given it the recognition that it deserves in that capacity. But of course, the holiest site to Judaism, let's not forget that, while we're already talking about the recognition of the Muslim holiness of the site. And therein lies the clash and the controversy.
And it's fascinating because it does need to be, if one thinks about it, it has to be a very difficult day and a day of clashes, because recognizing that this is the site of the two temples that were destroyed and this is the day that it happened actually gives legitimacy. Not that legitimacy is really needed, but gives legitimacy to the Jewish link to Jerusalem. And that's got to be difficult for those that deny it to deal with.
I think, I mean, the site of the Temple Mount has had a number of biblical events attached to it. And that is the reason why the holy temples were constructed on Mount Moriah in the first place. So this is going back in Jewish history many, many years, and that's the reason that it was located, was chosen to be the location of the holy temples in the days that that existed, and also is a direct link to why it is important to the Jewish people as the capital of the state of Israel. There can be little doubt that the biblical attachment and the historical attachment to Jerusalem is something which cannot be separated from who we are as a nation and what Israel is as a country in terms of representing the Jewish nation. And yesterday, for example, when a group of Jews went onto the Temple Mount, we know that officially, according to the rules and according to the rulings that have been handed down by the Waqf, which is the Muslim Holy Council that has overall control over the Temple Mount, Jews are officially not allowed to pray on the Temple Mount. So Jews can visit the Temple Mount, but Jews are not allowed to pray. And in fact, that particular rule has been enforced by Israeli police from time to time, in spite of the fact that people do try to go onto the Temple Mount and pray. Let's just contrast that against the thousands and thousands of Muslims who come on a week-by-week basis, particularly on Friday to Friday prayers, which are a big event on the Temple Mount. And they do pray on the Temple Mount, and they do go to the Al-Aqsa Mosque and pray there. So Muslims have the right and the freedom to pray on the Temple Mount. Jews, however, are restricted from doing so. And yesterday, when a group of Jews went up onto the Temple Mount and apparently were recorded praying on the Temple Mount, then this created waves. There was there were rocks that were thrown from within the Al-Aqsa Mosque against those Jews who were trying to go into the Temple Mount. There were reports across Jordan and across the Arab world in general and in international media that Jews had tried to storm the Temple Mount. This term,
yeah, I storming, saw the storming. It was actually quite comical, really.
Yeah, when you say storming, it means a few people ambling onto the Temple Mount in order to pay a visit, which is really completely uncontroversial, which really has no threat against any person on the Temple Mount, nor any property that is on the Temple Mount. You know, we as Jews have no interest in the Al-Aqsa Mosque, in going there, in storming it, in visiting it, in threatening it in any way. And yet, of course, the call goes out to the Muslim world that Al-Aqsa is under threat, that Jews are storming the Temple Mount, which can't be further from the truth. And if only we would be able to get to some sort of a status quo situation which would allow Jews to go onto the Temple Mount, to behave appropriately, to visit, to pray should they wish to do so, not to threaten anybody, not to try to damage any property, but simply to go and pay a visit as the right of a practicing Jew to go along to the site where the Holy Temple once stood. It would just progress the whole region so much. And I just don't quite get why we can't find a way to manage allowing both Jews and Muslims to go onto the Temple Mount, even if you do it on alternate days or find some sort of a plan, as has been done, for example, at the Cave of the Patriarchs, the Marota Machpelah in Hebron, where Jews and Muslims are allowed to visit on different days and pray at different times so as not to create any friction between the two groups, but both allowed nevertheless to visit at their time, their appointed time. If only we were able to create a situation like that for the Temple Mount as well, I think it would just move the whole region forward in a very, very substantial way.
Anthony, Philip, listening in from Israel, says that they were definitely settlers, according to the J Post. Even Israel media is problematic. That is a problem. If that is the case, if it is being, you know, if that's the narrative within Israel itself, from within the Israeli or Jewish establishment, and this is just according to Philip, I didn't see this myself. If that is the case, then that surely would be problematic.
It is problematic, and of course the term settlers also has emotion attached to it, because by the term settlers, people often interpret that to mean people going with violent intentions, people going with some sort of agenda other than to be good citizens, good tourists, good visitors, simply to exert their authority to exercise their right to visit a place without damaging anything or encroaching upon anybody's, you know, without disrespecting anybody in particular. So, of course, when the term settler is used, it does, I agree, have a certain connotation, a certain emotion about it. I didn't particularly see the term settlers, but there were certainly reports in the Arab media that I saw that characterized Jews visiting the Temple Mount as settlers and using this term storming when going along to the Temple Mount. Let's be clear. I mean, the so-called settlers, who are people who effectively live in the Judean Samaria area, they've been given this label of settlers because the places where they live are settlements, and they are settlements in the respect that they are just remote and they are not part of any urban area or establishment. These are people who are prepared to go and honestly set up a location to live which is outside of the normal, off the grid, some people like to call it, outside of the normal establishment, are willing to go through the pain of establishing infrastructure and building things in order to create a place to live. Because let's remember that Israel is a very small country, that there aren't that many places, there are not that many locations where people can go along and live, which is outside of the city areas where so many people like to live. And by the way, there are people who like to connect with our land in a very religious and biblical way, go along to places which are mentioned in the Bible, which are significant from those days and which exist today, oftentimes under the same name, and go and live there because it has a certain significance, a certain relevance to them in their beliefs, in their religion, as opposed to trying to go and threaten anybody by going about their business doing so. But of course, the term settler has been very emotively used. And so every time this term settler is used in the press, people have this a notion that these are people coming with sticks and with weapons and with intentions of hurting people or exercising a certain violent aspiration. And in fact, most of the time, the people go into the Temple Mount just do so simply for their own purposes, not to damage anything or to offend anybody, but just simply to exercise their own religious beliefs in order to visit the location where the Holy Temple once stood, or temples once stood.
The Israeli government has updated the latest coronavirus restrictions following another noticeable increase in the number of people infected. What's the latest?
So the latest is that more than 1,000 new infections in one day. We kind of crossed that barrier, which is a significant barrier, in spite of the fact that there is still increased number of children between the ages of 12 and 18 being vaccinated, yet the number of infections that continues to grow. And we really interpret two main things from the increased number of people who are contracting corona. The first of which is that since the borders were reopened to allow people to travel abroad, a lot of the variant D in particular have the Delta variant. A lot of people who have contracted the Delta variant abroad have brought it back to Israel. There was one very, very worrying report that I read which said that 400 Israelis returned from the UK with the Delta variant diagnosed, and these are people who had been to the Euro Cup final football game at Wembley Stadium a couple of weeks ago, and they returned 400 of them with the Delta variant. So that's just an indication of how a single event can potentially be brought home in a massive volume and potentially affect people in Israel across the board. So that's the first thing. And we've seen restrictions being placed upon travel abroad. I'll come back to that in a moment. But I think the second conclusion that we've reached from this huge increase in the number of diagnosed cases of the Delta variant is that unfortunately our Pfizer vaccine that we've all received is not quite as effective against the Delta variant as it has been up until now against the various other variants that we've experienced in Israel. And we have to accept that, you know, there is a potential need to update the vaccine in order to cope with the Delta variant in a more effective way. As things stand at the moment, unfortunately, even though the Pfizer vaccine seems to be helping people not to become too badly ill with the virus, those people who actually do contract the virus, most people managing somehow to get through it without showing very extreme symptoms, needing hospitalization, needing intubation or oxygen. Most people are able to get through it like that. And nevertheless, it's not as effective in terms of protecting people against infecting the Delta variant. And that's what we've concluded. In terms of the first point that I made about our borders, there are now quite strict rules about people traveling backwards and forwards. Certain countries have been placed on the red list. South Africa is one of them. This necessitates anybody coming in from those countries to go into quarantine for at least for a 2-week period of quarantine, subject to tests being done during the time period. It also restricts Israelis from visiting those locations. Israelis are strictly prohibited from visiting red countries unless they receive special permission to do so. That special permission, not too easy to obtain. Then there's a list of orange countries where people are being warned that they need to be cautious. There is a certain quarantine that may be required for people returning from those countries. And then, of course, for everybody else, all countries, no matter where they happen to be, anybody who returns from those countries is immediately required to have a PCR test at Ben Gurion Airport and to go into at least a 24-hour period of quarantine pending the outcome of their result of the PCR test. And of course, if they are positive for COVID at that point, they're required to go into quarantine and do the necessary steps for people who are infected. Those who come back with negative tests are released to go about their daily business. So that's the kind of current rules for people traveling abroad. Lots of talk about a third vaccination being administered. There's now rules that have been set out for people, oncological patients who might be requiring third vaccines, or people who are immunocompromised, requiring, so there's certain rules about those people, but no current talk about the general population being vaccinated with a third dose.
All right, and that's where we leave it. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. It is 8 o'clock. We'll catch you tomorrow morning at 7:45. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.